Welcome into a fresh episode of Fireside Sports presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm your host, Casey Mabbitt. Well, it's October. September's over, so you can wake up Billy Joe Armstrong if you want. I'm okay with or without him if you are. But more importantly, we're on to the official fall of the year. And before we get into that, I want to bring on good friend, good buddy, good co-host, good co-pilot, Bryant Knox, the Bryant Knox, at Bryant Knox on Twitter. He's all over the place. He's on OregonSportsNews.com, BleacherReport.com, Sports.com. That's not a real website, but if it were, damn it, he'd be there. And we don't really believe in swearing in here. We're a clean podcast, but damn it again, he's that good. So, bringing him on, Bryant, how the heck are you? Notice we went clean again. How are you doing tonight? And any exotic location you're broadcasting from, or just the Pacific Northwest, as if that's not exotic enough?
Yeah, I'm actually broadcasting from sports.com.
Finally.
No, literally, as you were saying that, I pulled it up, and sports.com is a very real website.
All right.
They have a very real button that says email us, and I do not know what else they do. So if the sports.com people are listening, I highly encourage them to email us, and maybe we can get a little partnership going.
Well, I'm just glad they're real, because if sports.com wasn't a real thing, there's a free domain name for you, whoever you are.
No doubt.
So it's October now. I know we complained like little kids about summer and how it wouldn't end, and it was so hot, and it was still in the 80s last week, which is why we took a break. The studio overheated. We had to bring in some extra air conditioning guys, a new HVAC. We're just flush with cash here, so that's what we did. We took the week off, went to the Bahamas because it was actually cooler there. But it's October now. There's that crisp fall air in the air. Apples are falling off trees. Pumpkins are coming out of the ground. Zombies are coming out of the ground. You might have heard Thriller coming into the show. Hope you caught that. If you didn't, hit rewind real quick. We'll be right here. Bryant, what are you most excited about that summer's finally over? Other than the heat's gone, what do you look forward to in the fall?
This is a little more of a winter thing, but since I don't do like pumpkin spice, I'm super excited for eggnog. Yep. I'm not gonna lie. I know we're technically a couple months away from eggnog being officially back in season, because we do have to get through all of the pumpkin spice in our life.
Right.
But for me, curling up. You know, I've never been a hot beverage guy. I don't do hot cocoa. I don't do anything like that. So for me, it's all about curling up, getting warm, watching maybe something scary on the tube. But my beverage of choice is definitely eggnog. I don't know about you, but that's for me.
I don't necessarily love eggnog by itself, or especially cold. It's just it's good in small portions, but if you really enjoy it, what I recommend is getting some real eggnog. Go to one of our local family farms around town. Lee Farms in Tualatin is great. They're family owned for years and years. They've got a farm store that's open 7 days a week. They have affordable goods too, and they're all fresh made from the farm. They sell eggnog in a old fashioned glass milk jug. And it's delicious. And you take some of that, you pour it over some coffee, and you add some like cinnamon and nutmeg and some rum, and you heat that up over the stove. Oh, man, that's a good beverage for a Saturday night football game.
Hey, you know what? I know I just said I'm not into warm beverages, but you're kind of speaking my language with all that. So you may have just turned me, if
it's
we're being
so
honest.
Good. It's you can have one, and you know, it's basically like a Christmas cold Christmas white Russian. It's really good.
Oh, that's a great description. Yeah. I love it.
So, and even if you don't celebrate Christmas, you're not alone. There's plenty that don't. Some of us do it for religious reasons. Some of us do it for we love to spend money. Some of us do it for both. But for those of you that don't do it for either, the good news is it's a holiday beverage. So you can call it whatever the hell you want. Just enjoy it. So, moving on, I'll just tell you real quick. October is my favorite month of the year. I love Halloween, love pumpkin patches, love going to farms, doing haunted corn mazes. It's a special time of year to be able to do that and still go home and watch football. It's just nuts, and everybody's getting out and about because it's still decent weather. You can wear your hoodie, you can wear your sunglasses like we've talked before. You know, you get your mudder boots on, you go walk trudging through a zombie-packed corn maze. It's such a fun time of year. I really love it.
Hey, I know that I personally have been on this podcast and talked about hoodie and sunglass season, so yeah. I'm just gonna double down on that and say you're 100% right.
It's so good. So moving on to football, which is another part of fall we love. The Ducks won last week. We saw them just, we'll say, fumble it away for a football punt against Stanford, even though it wasn't a fumble that cost them the game. It was a lot of other things. Maybe officiating, maybe not. We're not going to get into that. That's an old wound. We're not going to reopen at this point. But they beat Cal. Dang it. They beat Cal, and now they're back in the game. They're off this week. They got Washington next week. How stoked are you that they've still got a chance going into this matchup to make some noise, and maybe if things fall their way, they can claw their way into that playoff spot?
Yeah, so it's actually kind of funny. I predicted Stanford to win a close game. I didn't think it'd go to overtime, but I shouldn't be surprised by it. So I was kind of on track with that. I will admit, I did pick Oregon to fall in sort of not grand fashion, but in very much hangover fashion to Cal. I thought that losing to Stanford, they were going to come out and maybe fumble away another game. I'm not sure, but I didn't have high hopes. But the fact that they won in fairly convincing fashion, I think that was the win that they needed. Yes. And now they're going to be entirely focused on University of Washington, and I don't even think they're focused on the playoffs. I don't think they're focused on the Rose Bowl. I think that this team has been better this year than last year at playing it one week at a time. And I think that last year they would have dropped that game to Stanford and then probably been blown out by Cal. And so I'm excited to see what they can do to come out against Washington. And, you know, it's a little early. I still need to see Washington play this weekend. I think they have a game. But I kind of think that that Oregon sneaks away with a win. That's my early call.
So Washington's currently number 10. They're on the road at UCLA this week. Obviously not a matchup we're really thinking they're going to give up. But it could be a stumble game. They might not lose, but they could look bad. Are you rooting for the old chipster to make a dent in Washington and pull off an upset and take them down a notch? Or does that hurt Oregon if they go in and face a lesser opponent next week?
Well, it hurts Oregon if you think that they genuinely have a shot at the top four by the end of the year. I'm personally not trying to think of it that way because they also play UCLA later in the year.
Right.
So UCLA winning would technically improve their strength of schedule by the time they got to UCLA. I know that by, you know, BCS definition, strength of schedule is no longer what it used to be before the playoffs, but I do still think it goes into the human aspect of the vote. And I think that if UCLA comes across with the win or comes away with the win, I think that Oregon can kind of have some extra motivation going into that game, and that's not really a bad thing. But I think that despite it being sort of a classic trap game, I think Washington probably pulls it out. I don't think they look a week ahead to Oregon. I think that they end up out-talenting and out-scheming Chip Kelly's UCLA Bruins. And the Bruins remain undefeated, or excuse me, quite the opposite, winless. And UW gets ready for a big matchup.
Yeah, I think you're right that they'll come out, storm the castle, you know, burn the doors down and run out the other end and probably get unfazed doing it. But moving on to Oregon State, they've kind of got the opposite thing going for them. They, in the last 2 weeks, have been just absolutely destroyed by both Arizona schools. We thought that the Arizona game at Reser would be a close one. Turns out it was not close and not the way the Beavers would have liked. They get blown out in their homecoming game. Then the next week they go on the road to ASU and they get their butts handed to them yet again. Where does this team go from here? I mean, they've got Washington State this week, and I believe that's at Washington State, so they got to go all the way from ASU up to WSU. What are you looking for from them this week? Do they have a chance of winning?
Well, to go back to your first overall question, what do I expect from them? I do expect more points. I think that against Washington State, they can put up more points in line with what they did in weeks 1 and 2 and even 3 against Nevada. Do I think they can win? No. I think Washington State has been good enough this year. I think they've put up enough points this year, which they haven't actually done it in the fashion that I expected. I thought they'd be a little higher of a point scoring point or a team. But I do think that it's a bit of a shootout. It probably resembles the Nevada game a little bit in terms of just point for point back and forth. But I do think that Washington ends up with a win, or excuse me, Washington State, they end up with a win by probably a touchdown at 10 points.
Yeah, I would love to say Oregon State can win this game, but and I can't remember if they're on the road or at home, but it doesn't seem to matter where it is. They just haven't had it the last couple weeks, and I don't know that this is the game that gets them back on track. They just look like they've been off ever since the Nevada game, really. We thought they would be a little more competitive in Pac-12 play, but so far, no.
Yeah, and the reason I say that they can keep it within 7 to 10 points is because it is at home.
Okay.
And they have, you know, I'm not going to say that they've been like an elite team at Reser Field, but they are putting up decent points there, with the exception of the Arizona game. And they've put up decent points against OSU and Nevada before ASU. So I think that we probably end up with a little bit more of a shootout than Washington State would like. But I think Washington State is also comfortable winning a shootout.
Yeah, I think they are. We know Mike Leach's schools usually can win a shootout. I know they're breaking in a young quarterback this year. OSU has quarterback issues of their own. They've got two quarterbacks, Luton and Blount, that they just don't seem to know who's going to play week to week. Luton keeps getting hurt, but we'll see what happens this week. I guess I'm just pulling for them to keep it close. I'd love to see them in another close game, if not a win, just because they had such bad games the last 2 weeks. It'd be neat to see them get them back on track. And
yeah, I agree.
Ideally have a winning record or close to it come Civil War time, because I think a lot of people are a little fed up with the lack of the rivalry. I'd love to see it go back to the late 90s when you had Mike Bellotti and Dennis Erickson and Joey Harrington and Jonathan Smith going neck and neck, head to head every year around Thanksgiving. It was a lot of fun. I know if you're a Duck fan, you enjoyed seeing them getting beat every year, but I think it gets boring after a while. And at the same time, you know, I grew up here in the state of Oregon. I know you did as well. And we like to see both schools do well. You know, we only root against the other team when we're playing them. Otherwise, we're hoping that they do well. So I hope they turn it around.
Yeah, same here. I mean, I am an Oregon guy. I've made that very clear throughout my time joining you on this podcast. You know, last year's game, I remember watching it with a couple of Beaver alums. And because of the 2006 game that Oregon State won in Corvallis, they had very high hopes. And I tried to settle them down ahead of time without being arrogant, because I knew that the way both teams had played, and they just weren't buying my realism, I guess. Right. And so we were actually at my in-laws' place in Bend, and the fact that the Beavers fell, I don't even remember what it was. It was like 59-10.
It was a wide win.
It was a bit of a blowout. They were a little surprised by that, but like I said, I tried to warn them ahead of time, but I wasn't trying to be arrogant about it either. No. I'm right there with you in that I would love a competitive game. I'd love a competitive sort of back and forth series over the years, but I also know that with the exception of 2 years ago, the last time Oregon State won a Civil War was my freshman year at Oregon, which was 2007. Matt so Moore. the rivalry happened. Has not exactly been balanced.
That's right. Well, I think the next year was the Justin Roper year. Then it all went off the wagon after that for a while. But I'm pulling for it to get back there. Same with, you know, when Washington became good again. It's neat to see these storied schools get back on the map. And I know for a lot of the country, they don't really seem to care much about our Oregon schools or the Washington schools, but it's just neat when the four of them can get it going. I mean, these are the Northwest colleges. We really root for them. I know we're all part of different fan bases, but it's just fun to see four schools from the Northwest in the top 25 if it can ever happen again.
I agree.
So we'll root for both teams this weekend, and you know the Ducks have got an easy gimme, but we'll still root for them to not like have any like pulled hamstrings in practice or anything stupid like that. So moving on to the NFL, last week Seattle got a much needed win over Arizona. It was, man, way harder than it probably should have been for you Seattle faithful out there. I know that was a tough one. You lost your fun new tight end who wasn't even supposed to be a key player, but then he turned into one, and now he's out for the season. You lost Earl Thomas for the season. I'm sure you've got some mixed feelings about that. I know a lot of you love him as a player, but you're not sure what his current situation looks like. And the game really featured some really poor kicking from Sebastian Janikowski, making you wonder why they paid him when they could have just had their rookie they drafted, but that's for another time. So Seattle looked okay, Bryant. You got to see Josh Rosen in week four, which I think no one but you expected. What did you like from him? I will also bring up you thought you would see Rashard Penny take the start. Chris Carson sat out with a sore hip, but Mike Davis got the start. Just, you know, I think that was Pete Carroll just spiting you personally. How did you take that?
Yeah, I actually think it was too. I've got a line out to Pete. He and I have some beef to go over right now, but I'll leave the personal jabs aside. I you know what? I can't really doubt him because Rashard Penny has not broken away from the competition the way that I personally expected.
Right.
I thought that he was going to be a little more of a quick hitter as far as his early success goes. I am not, you know, too prideful to say that I was wrong there. I think that the decision made total sense. I am still keeping a very close eye on him because I think that he has a little higher of a ceiling, maybe not as high as a Chris Carson now that we've actually seen what Carson can do. I think part of my love for Rashad Penny came from a little bit of doubt with Chris Carson,
right,
if I'm just completely honest. So I think that Carson has very much come in and proven that he's a very solid player at that position and at that starting position. So I do still expect great things from Penny. I do still think that he becomes something of a fan favorite by the end of the year. But yeah, as far as this last weekend goes, I can't complain with the decision that was made there.
Well, the flip side, Josh Rosen looked pretty darn sharp. He had some receivers drop some key passes. He had them in the game. They almost won, had the lead towards the end, and then Seattle pulled away with a late field goal. Looked pretty sharp. Throws were on the money. Didn't look like the stage was too big for him. And I don't think they missed Sam Bradford at all after that game. I know Seattle's got some question marks on their game plan and who their starters are, but Seattle's a decent team, and Arizona made themselves look decent for the first time all season. So I think that was a good call on your part. I can't say that Pete Carroll's listening to you the way he probably should, but Steve Wilks sure seems to have your ear, so good for you.
You know what I'll say about that? I do think that Rosen showed a ton of potential. I do think that he has a ton of potential in this league and in that particular system. I think that he could end up being a great go-to guy there. But what I'll also say is that this weekend was the first time that they got David Johnson more than 20 touches.
Yep.
Or that it was the first time they got him more than 12 or 13 touches.
Yep.
And so the fact that they were able to get him involved in the offense, even if he wasn't a legit, like, number one fantasy pick, as we all thought a year ago, the fact that they were able to get him involved really opened things up for Rosen. So I like the potential combo of Johnson and Rosen in the backfield. I think there's a long way to go there, and I don't think that they have full trust in Johnson as their best player quite yet. And of course, I don't think they have full trust in Rosen as their number one option behind center. But the two of them combined have a ton of potential together. And I think that if they can learn to trust that duo and build a system around them, man, they have the potential to be way better than they are right now.
Absolutely. Well, the Seahawks lost Earl Thomas. They lost Will Dilsley. I beg your pardon, Will Dilsley, if that's not how you say your name, but that's what it looks like on the screen anyway. They lost those two players, key contributors. We'll see what they do this week. We'll get into that in a minute. Arizona also has kind of a interesting matchup this week. So real quick, we'll talk 49ers. They went into L.A., took on the Chargers. Was supposed to be a blowout because they had lost Jimmy G. They weren't supposed to have Matt Breida, but they had him anyway. Barely lost. I believe it was a two-point game at the end. And much closer than people expected. You have C.J. Breathard, T.J. Miller, however you say his name. Looks good. Not great, but he looked decent. Looks like a guy that you can see why they wouldn't want to sign someone else right away. But they still got a loss, so they're 1-3 on the season with a much steeper climb now that Jimmy G's out. And then you had the Rams and the Vikings in that Thursday night showcase. Just an absolute blast to watch it. Hope you got to see it. If you didn't, you should probably check out some replays. It was just an offensive showcase. There wasn't a lot of defense, which is pretty incredible given how good that Rams defense is. But that also speaks volumes to that Vikings defense just not being up to par this year. Brian, what do you think of the Rams so far? I know when we talked earlier in the season, you know, way back when, all 4 weeks ago, I know you and I were kind of split on how the Rams would do. You still liked them, but you weren't sure they were this world beater. How do you feel about them now? Do you think they've played an opponent that you can say they hang their hat on, or are you still waiting for them to play like Kansas City in week 11? What's your thought on them?
Oh, you completely beat me on the Rams. There's no doubt about it. I was skeptical because my nature is to always be skeptical with super teams or anything that tries to claim it's a super team. And I know some of the wide receivers were making that claim here, but not everybody. So I shouldn't have really listened to the headlines as much as I did, because the fact is they are, you know, I don't know exactly what their point margin of victory is, but they're averaging a blowout right now. I think what that comes down to is that I trusted their offense. You know, I thought it would take a little more time for them to click, but I trusted their offense. I just think that in my mind, I was more worried about their defense clicking.
Right.
You know, buying into the system, getting a couple star players on board. You know, defense is a very tough side of the field to have an ego. And they have a couple guys with egos on that side of the field. And I think that I personally doubted that a little more than I should have, just based on principle. So you definitely beat me to the not to say you're on the bandwagon. I'm not going to go that far because I don't know that from your perspective. But you beat me to the Rams.
They're okay.
Hype a little bit, and in that you were more spot on than I was. I think they've played plenty of competition at this point. Now they've also blown out the Cardinals by like 35-0, if I remember right. So there's that. But they beat the Chargers a couple weeks ago. They beat the Vikings. They've looked very good. Their defense has been more in sync than I expected. And quite frankly, they look like the team to beat. Not just in the division, not just in the conference, but they kind of look like the team to beat in the league right now.
So if you don't have Denny Green saying, if you want to crown him on your YouTube channel right now, you probably should, because that's where we're going with this, but we'll get back to that in a minute. So before we get into the Seahawks and the Rams and what we can hope to see from either team this weekend, you've got only one other matchup in the NFC West this week, and that's the Cardinals are traveling to face the San Francisco 49ers. We've touched on how many challenges both teams face. They're both breaking in a young starter. They both have question marks on offense, question marks on defense. They both have athletic running backs, but not much else to go for them on offense. What do you think is going to happen in this game? I mean, it's supposed to be decent weather. You know, once upon a time, that would mean bombs away in the Bay, but these days, it's probably still going to be a lot of ground and pound. And picking your spots when you're throwing the ball. Who do you think wins this one? And is there a winner if you're watching the game?
Well, I mean, I probably won't watch the game if I'm being honest. So,
yeah, scale of 1 to 10. What's your interest level or intrigue level in this matchup? Mine's around a 2.5, which is pretty low for football.
I was gonna say, are all my other channels broken?
No, they're very much alive. In fact, I believe this game's not even broadcast in our region.
All right, then I think I'm probably floating around a 2 to 2.5 as well.
barely a blip.
Here's what I'll say about it. I think that Arizona actually builds off of its momentum in terms of David Johnson getting some shine. And I think Arizona can come in here and kind of deflate any sort of post-Jimmy G 49ers hope that they had. And I actually have the Cardinals getting their first win of the season.
Yeah, I think it's going to be tough to pick the 49ers against an opponent the rest of the way, and definitely doesn't start this week. I'm taking the Cardinals easily. I think it'll be a multiple score win for them. They sure looked sharp last week, but it was Rosen's first start. I think this week, even though it's enemy territory, it's not like he's playing in Autzen or anything. He's playing in the Bay for a fan base that's not very rowdy. So I think he'll be okay. He'll handle the pressure, and he'll get him the W.
I agree.
So on to the main event. We got 5 minutes left, so we got to make them count. We've got the Los Angeles Rams. The Los Angeles Rams already crowned Super Bowl champions. They haven't even won it yet, but damn it, give it to them on paper. They're going to get there. They are traveling to CenturyLink Field to take on your Seattle Seahawks, if you're a Seattle Seahawks fan. If this matchup doesn't scare you this year, nothing will, except for when you have to travel to LA to take them on down there. This is probably the most complete team in the league. I agree with you that on paper it looked a little wishy-washy at first because you have so many big names and personalities and, as you mentioned, egos. But you also have quite a few guys that have been on other rosters. They're veterans. They haven't sniffed a Super Bowl in a while unless your name's Aqib Talib. So you have all these veterans that are hungry for a championship, and they finally are not doing it on their own. They've got superstars next to them at every level. You've got the most loaded offense in the league, arguably the second most loaded defense in the league, if not the first, depending on where Jacksonville and LA end up at the end of the year. This team looks scary if I'm Seattle, and I don't think Sean McVay is going to let them sleep on Seattle. So what do you do if you're the Seahawks? You don't have Earl Thomas. You're down your best defender. You lost Dillsley, so you're down one of your best pass catchers and run blockers. This is a lot of pressure for Russell Wilson to beat this team. Do you give Seattle a chance in this one, or do you think the Rams win pretty easily?
I give Seattle the win, actually.
Really?
Here's why.
How does that happen?
Here's why. I think that the Rams are becoming content. And that's a very nerve-wracking thing for a supposed super team.
3 straight weeks, 35-plus points.
Exactly. I think that the offense is going to be very comfortable. I think that the defense is going to be even more comfortable. And in this particular case, I think comfortability is not a good thing for them. I think they need to be more on edge than they probably are right now. And if there's any team in the NFL that's on edge, it's the Earl Thomas-less Seattle Seahawks. I think that they come
out... Whoa. So before we go any further... You're walking back your opening statement on the Rams as far as they are a team to beat, but now you're saying that they're going to phone it in against Seattle?
Yeah, because here's the thing. Every team that is a great one goes through a bit of a stretch where they get too comfortable. And people may not even realize this in their cognizant thoughts, but we're 25% of the way through the NFL season right now. Isn't that kind of a crazy thought?
It's crazy.
We're a quarter of the way through the season. So, yes, I think that the Rams came out very, very motivated. And don't get me wrong. I think they're still motivated. I think they're still the team to beat. But I think they're going to look at a team that's now shorthanded in the Seahawks, and I think they're going to look right past them. I think that the Rams are going to come out, be a little too comfortable, and I think the players that are making up for Earl Thomas's absence, whether it be Bradley McDougal or Tedrick Thompson, whoever it may be on that defensive end, especially in the secondary, is going to come out extremely motivated, knowing that, one, they have to make up for Thomas's absence, two, they have to make up for the fact that they haven't had the best start to the season, and three, they're playing potentially the best team, not just in the division, not just in the conference, but in the league, as I've already gone over. I think that they look at this game and the Seahawks pull out a gritty victory. I think they get something like 23-20. I think they just get a gritty win against one of the league's best teams.
Yeah, I think that they've got a chance to just be the out-of-nowhere underdog. I honestly don't see that happening this weekend, but it could, I suppose. One thing is, there is a chance of rain in the forecast, and it's in Seattle, so you could have Mother Nature on your side, but if this game is in clear skies, oh dear God, I don't think the Seahawks can hang with them. They got beat up by the Broncos, they got beat up by the Bears, they got beat up by the Cardinals, barely won the Cardinals game, they're 1-2, and then there's another game out there I'm blanking on, but it just has not looked good for them so far this year. I just have a hard time believing that sans Earl Thomas, this is the game where they put it all together. I think, if anything, this might be the game where they get it all together next time. Dallas is the game I'm forgetting about that they won, and they should take some of that game film and use it, because Dallas, according to Jerry Jones, is exactly the same as the Rams. So if they can beat Dallas, according to Jerry, they can beat the Rams, no problem. So,
hey, you know what? Logic says that you're right, and logic said that you were right about the Rams the first time. So you're already 1-1, whereas I'm 0-1. So I think that you definitely have the edge here. But I'm sticking with my gut, and I'm pulling for a grit. Like, the over-under in this Rams-Seahawks game is 51. And logic says it's going to go over simply because the Rams are going to put up 35 freaking points, right? But I'm looking at this saying, I think we end up with just a slow, gritty game, and I think the Seahawks win that style.
So I'm just going to say this out loud, and you tell me if you agree with this. So you're saying that Russell Wilson, Gimpy Doug Baldwin, Gimpy Brandon Marshall, Tyler Lockett, and Chris Carson are going to go toe-to-toe in a shootout with the Rams and win?
Not a shootout. I think it's going to be a grinded-out.
Well, if the Rams are scoring 35 points by themselves, it's a shootout.
Well, but that's why you're right about that. You're right about that. But that's why I'm picking sort of a 20-23, 17-20 win.
You're looking for more like the Denver-Kansas City game. Is that what you're expecting?
Yeah, you can quote me on that. We get a low-scoring Seahawks win. Quote me on it.
Low-scoring. I'll believe it when I see it. I don't like that the Rams are this good, because Green Bay's got to go into LA and play them in a few weeks. But, man, they're good. They're just good.
You know what? Everything I just said, if I'm 100% wrong, I'll own up to it, because you're right. The Rams are really good right now.
Yeah, well, I'll be up in Seattle next week, so if they're celebrating, I'll look forward to celebrating with them. If they're a little down on their luck, I'll buy them a few beers and get them back on track. But we're way over the 30-minute mark by a whole 3 minutes. That's 90 seconds that we promised we wouldn't steal from you, so I apologize for that. We did it anyway. We're bad friends, but we'll be better next time, I swear. We'll take a week off just to make up for it. So you get 90 seconds back in the form of 7 working days, and we'll see you next time. Bryant, always a pleasure. Thank you so much for being on. It's been a blast as always, and we'll see what happens. Not to rub it in, but I know you're still reeling from your undefeated Miami Dolphins not being able to talk about 72 anymore. But it's no excuse to pick the Seahawks over the Rams, but you did it anyway. But thank you for being on, man. It's been a blast. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for that last note, Casey. We'll see if I hop on in the future.
I think you will, but probably more out of spite than friendship. But we'll see. We've got a little of both. But it's supposed to be sunny this weekend a little bit, so enjoy the hoodie and the sunglasses. I know you've been looking forward to it. And take a week off from the Ducks. We'll take a week off from the show, and we'll be back in a couple weeks. But thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. This has been Fireside Sports, presented by Oregon Sports News. I'm Casey Mabbitt. He's Bryant Knox. Follow us on Twitter, @BryantKnox, @OregonSportsGuy. Thanks for listening, and stay classy, Portland.